إلا الله.
لا إله إلا الله لا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
آمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله أحمده واستعينه واستهديه واستغفره. أشهد لا إله إلا الله لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على خير المرسلين محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. That is, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all systems of knowledge. All praise is due to Allah. I praise him. I seek his assistance. I seek his guidance, and I ask for his forgiveness. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, the one who has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayers and the peace be upon him, is his servant and his messenger. All praise is due to Allah. We ask Allah's peace and blessings on the best among the prophets, Muhammad, as well as on his family and his companions. Ameen. We seek refuge with Allah from our own faults, weaknesses, faults, and errors. All praise is due to Allah who sent down upon us his book most clear and later revealed in the last ayat. This day I have completed for you your way of life and completed my blessing and favor upon you and chose al-Islam as your way of life. All praise due to Allah who united the hearts of the believers with al-Islam and has made it an obligation to remain united and made it forbidden to become separated in his clear book. I advise you as well as I advise myself first to have regard, consciousness, awareness, taqwa for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, and obey him. Dear Muslim believers, again, I greet you. Assalamu alaikum. And Jumma Mubarak. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Walla tahinu, walla tahzanu, wa antumul la launa inna kuntum. Mu'minin in tasakun. Oh, I think I read the wrong one first. Subhanallah. So that was the second ayah. Let me start up again. Hadha bayyatun lil nasi wahudan wa mau'idhu ma'awifathutun lil mu'minin wala tahinu wala tahtak zi takzanu wa antumul launa in kuntum mu'minin. Salak Allah wa Deen. That is the 138th and 139th. I did the 139th first, but Allah is the best knower. The expression is as follows. This is a clear statement to all the people and a guidance and an instruction for those conscious of Allah. So do not weaken, do not grieve, for ye must gain mastery if ye are true in faith. Again, that is the 138th and 139th ayahs of Surah Al Imran, number 3 of the Holy Quran. And we say, Salak Allah wa Deen, surely Allah speaks the truth. Today's khutbah title, again, in my running thought pattern of the Quran as an ideology, clear guidance and direction. Clear guidance and direction. In a reported hadith of Suaib reported, radiallahu anhu, the messenger of Allah, peace and the blessings be upon him, said, wondrous is the affair of a believer if there is good for him in any matter. And this is not the case when anyone except the believer, if he is happy, then he thanks Allah. And thus there is good for him. And if he is harmed, then he shows patience. And thus there is good for him. About Abu Huraira, reported that Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, said, whoever calls to guidance will have a reward similar to those who follow him without detracting from their rewards at all. And whoever calls to misguidance will have sin upon him similar to those who follow him without detracting from their sins at all. And another reported hadith, El Hassan ibn Ali reported, right line, who the messenger of Allah, peace and praise be upon him, said, leave that which makes you doubt for what does not make you doubt. Verily, truth brings peace of mind, and falsehood sows doubt. And we thank Allah for his protection. We ask Allah for his forgiveness. We thank him for his help and his mercy. And we thank him for Allah. We thank Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is he, for not giving up on us. Mm-hmm. Not giving up on us. You know, when I first heard the Imam, Rahimahullah, who say that the Quran is an ideology, it stuck with me. It stuck with me for so many reasons. And today, in this world, we're seeing the end of an ideology. And I often say it's like that. It's like everything in the boat that sank is finally settled on the bottom of the ocean. Finally settled on the bottom of the ocean. The end of times, right? The end of structure. You know, they don't just end in a day. They don't end in 3.5 years. They end over long periods of time. And the only reason it is when it is based on false ideas and false ideals. And that led to false narratives. This is why the Quran is so important. And as I begin, I do not know how much of these two ayats that I will get done today, but inshallah, I will get whatever enough of whatever I bring out for today. Again, God willing. So, when we think of Muhammad, the sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are encouraged that when we bring him to mind, we are to send our du'as to Allah for him, for Allah's peace and his blessings upon him. And we should have great thoughts and feelings for Muhammad, because it was through him that Allah decided not to give up on the rest of the world. Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Have we not sent you except as a mercy to all the, and most of the time it's translated the worlds, and we know that our teaching, as we know that it means more than just the, you know, human beings, but it means a mercy sent to all the systems of knowledge. I bring this up because as we witness the systems being brought to this type of demise, we have witnessed in the Quran with former empires, former places that had high power structures, all these places that had the so-called the MOTS, as they used to say in that commercial, I got the MOTS. These systems did not have mercy inside of them. That was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I know that sometimes everyone will say that these faiths, I'm not speaking of all the faiths, are always trying to showcase their prophets. You know, they're always trying to get their angle in. What we are trying to do is showcase that if the mercy of all the prophets, alayhi salam, were inside of these systems that we have, then the whole world would be a different place. Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seal and the end of the prophets in particular, was sent to the whole of humanity. And today's verse ayat, Allah says, and this is a clear statement to all the people. Linasi means people, means mankind. This is the whole of humanity. You know, this Quran, and we work with the understanding that we know that Muhammad is the Quran. We work with that understanding. See, this might be hard for some to comprehend because the world has always did everything in flesh. They've kept everybody in flesh. This is part of that narrative that I'm speaking about, that everything has to be brought down to the flesh. And, you know, but when we look at the word nas, It means mankind. It means people, but it also means human nature. Human nature does not have a form in the physical body. Human nature means the general psychological characteristics, feelings, and behavioral traits of humankind. It's regarded as shared by all humans. These are our characteristics inside of our thinkings, our actions, our thoughts, even our souls. Remember, and I'm sure some might be wearing thin on this, again, remember that the Quran is an ideology, a system of ideas and ideals, right? Beliefs, principles, doctrine, the way we see things, the way we feel about things. What we believe is our ideology. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with the Quran to benefit our ideas and our beliefs. He was not sent here to make anyone in humanity a Muslim, right? Because Allah says to us in the Quran that he could have made all of us the same if he wanted to. Allah has that type of power. Allah has that type of control. Some of us, and I'm speaking in general, some of us have not opened our minds wide enough to realize that someone else of another faith is not a threat to our own faith because they believe something different from us. And I bring this up because recently I encountered this type of ideology that if he is not what I am, then I cannot be involved in him, with him in something that was designed to be for the good of the whole. Where is the mercy in that? Because I come from being a follower of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. I did not have any issue with who was present if the cause was good for the whole. I come from being a student and a protector of Imam al-Wafdin Muhammad, and I was not bothered by anyone's faith. I was encouraged to represent mine. Allah tells us that race towards all that is good. Race toward all that has mercy inside of it. These are the systems that have no mercy inside of them, and they are the ones having to come to grips with their own reality now. This is what all the prophets, alayhi salam, represent. They represent different stages of development, but each stage is growth. Each stage is progress. Each stage is mercy for us from Allah, highly glorified is he. Muhammad and the Quran were sent by Allah as a mercy for, yes, the physical man, but more importantly, as a mercy for the human nature of that physical man. It was a mercy to change behaviors, change thought patterns, change outlooks. It was a mercy to bring bayyanah. And I really can't explain how each week, it just seems like each week, one word keeps coming back the next week that I'm on the roster. All I can say is that the guidance from Allah. That's what I believe. He's the best of gods. Because I brought up Bainat last week. You know, it's clear, distinct. You know, and as I close this first part, the beginning of this ayat, Allah says again that this is a clear statement to all people. So this is a strong implication, meaning the Quran. We understand that the Quran is not in the ayat. But what else could be so clear and so distinct? This bayyana, that is the Quran, Surah 98, is placed right after Surah Alaq and Surah Qadr, right? So it's 98, it's right after 96 and 97. Right? Surah Al-Alaq is the first revelation. Then in Surah Al-Qadr is when it was revealed. Then here we come with what's in it in 98. Right? So the clear truth brought by the messenger of Allah for the whole of everything. So we have to look at this. There's nothing happens by happenstance. There's nothing, ain't no willy, and ain't no mistakes here. This is all for us to be able to see. 96 is the what? Right? 97 is the when. And 98 is the why. Allahu Akbar. I got in love in our heart, deviated thou hast guided us, but grant mercy on us, for thou hast granted a bounty without measure. I mean. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Clear guidance and direction. Clear guidance and direction. So anytime we have the applied meaning of the Quran, and we see Bayna, for the best understanding, we use the Quran. And we see what it means. The Quran is, yes, clear and distinct to all of the people. This word Bayna also means obvious. It means obvious. Allah is telling us that the Quran is obviously for all the systems of knowledge. It is obviously for every human being. It is obviously something they need for this life and for the next. You know, when we leave this life, this is where we learn our roles. This is what this life is for, to learn our roles. We're created to be servants of Allah. We have to learn our roles. This is on-the-job training. This is on-the-job training and has many benefits in this package. How we perform here determines our job placement in the next. So if we do not get our spirits correct, if we do not somehow let the truth become what we seek and what we want, then we will continue to have these type of problems we have in this world and inside of our own worlds. The Quran is an ideology. Allah has said to us that this is without a doubt, right? This is what he said. He says in the Quran, he said, this is without a doubt, right? Let's read it back. But it is saying that this Quran is what, without a doubt, guidance. First ayah, Surah 2, but beginning of Surah 2, you know, he talks about this. And here he is again saying it again. That this is so clear that it's obvious what it is for. And I mentioned earlier, wuhudan, and it's in this ayat, and guidance, because why is a particle? And guidance. Allah is El Hadi, the best of guides. He has set up guides for us to see and for us not to see. Right? We believe in the unknown, right? El Ghaib. So we understand some things happen without us seeing them. Some things happen without us understanding why. But here we have the Quran. Here we have Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they're both for our guidance without any doubt in them. So what is missing today? Why are we dealing with so much? It's because we do not have the guidance where it is most needed. And I'm not saying, oh, okay, yeah, we could just use the Quran. We use the Quran. We can get rid of the COVID-19. Now, I'm not saying that in that sense. I'm saying if we use the guidance that we have been given, and we also have been given, as the ayah says, a guidance and an instruction. Wamau ifatum, right? This is admonishment, advice, instructions. Do you know how hard it is to tell someone to do something that they've never did before without giving them instructions how to do it? Allah knows us better than we know ourselves. He is giving us guidance and instructions. He has given us the perfect guidance for what is wrong with the world. Not just when Muhammad was physically here, but for all the time since it has been revealed. Everything that is wrong with the world can be fixed by finding the guidance in the Quran. fighting the guidance and the examples of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and the peace be upon him. This is what I mean by the Quran can be what is needed in this world right now. Do you think that if there was more empathy in the world, we would have so many sick and passed away from this virus? Do you think if we had more mercy in the world, we would not have so many hungry and starving? Do you think if we have more people working together for the better of the whole, that we would not have so much division in the world? Do you think if we had more fair business dealings, we would have the 99% not being left out of the 1%? And when we break this down, this world into our worlds, into our areas, our cities, our states, all of that, Allah is telling us that guidance is coming straight and clear. It is guidance for the intelligence of the man, right? It is guidance that comes with the necessary instructions on how to make our own lives and those around us better. You know, we live our lives trying to think of ways to make this life better. That's our goal. I want today to be better than it was yesterday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just told us that he has already done that for us. Wa'athaw, right? Wa'athaw. It also means remind of that which should make the heart soften. Is that what we see in being wrestled with in the world right now? Allah says in the Quran, then your hearts hardened after that, so that they were like rocks, rather worse in hardness. And he also tells us, then woe to those whose hearts are hardened against the remembrance of Allah. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Surely Allah has spoken the truth. This is now. This is what we see in the world right now, and this is what we have to work on ourselves about. We do not need to make more Muslims. Understand what I'm saying by that. That's Allah's job. He's already said, don't worry about making more Muslims. I'll take care of that. Now I know every Dawah committee in the country is going to call me up. So how you now understand what Allah is saying. He already told Muhammad. He already told the prophet this. And he had told us that he will do that. He is telling us to be the best Muslims we can be. That's what he's telling us. And that will make the world a better place. Individually and community-wise. The beginning report of Hadith for Muhammad. Peace be upon him. Well, Abu Hurairah, one of the ones I use, Abu Hurairah, he said, the message of Allah said, whoever calls to guidance will have a reward similar to those who follow him without detracting from the awards, their rewards at all. And whoever calls to misguidance will have a sin upon them similar to those who follow him without detracting from their sins at all. And I'm not going to bring up drink Clorox or anything like that. So remember, we are receiving guidance and instruction. Then it is on us to live our lives in a clear picture of how that guidance and instruction has been given. That is how we call to guidance, by how we live our lives. The best way to be a Muslim is to not say, I'm a Muslim, but to show that you're a Muslim. And again, I'm not speaking of the physical, because I could take this off right here, and I can pull off in my car, and I'm just one of these people in the neighborhood. I'm going to get pulled out. They're going to say, well, what's your faith? They're not going to ask that. They're going to see what you look like. Or who you're dealing with is going to say, they're not going to ask you that. The Quran is to be our ideology in all these type of thoughts. This means that it is more in line with our thoughts, how we feel about things. It is the spirit that Allah has given us when he says that he would breathe into his creation. The ruh. That spirit is revelation. It is the Quran. When he created Adam, alayhi salam, he did not say the spirit was already in him. That is not this creation. That was not this creation of Adam was not created in excellence. What, right? Right? Now, indeed, we have conferred dignity on the children of Adam. So the emphasis of the statement is the luckat, right? And when we are created to be able to hold the Quran inside of us. This is what we have in Muhammad. It is why we are told that we are just, he was just like us, right? Everybody read 18 a day. The last thing we got told is to tell him that you are a bashrakum mithlakum. I'm a mortal person just like you. Because we will all be breathed into by the ruh when we have the Quran inside of us. It's that inherent dignity in our creation. It is that one thing we all have inside of us that was given to us by Allah. And we are all born on the same fitra. We all have that human nature. Going back to that. Those physical, those psychological characteristics of feelings and behavioral traits of humankind. And in this ayah, it is Allah telling us again that this is obvious who this is meant for. It is meant for those who have not lost that nature. Who have not let that nature become hard like a rock. Or where their hearts have hardened. Who else does Allah tell us about whose heart was hardened? Right? Look at the world right now. He said Pharaoh. Pharaoh. It's August 7th. The package they put together expired a week ago. And they haggling. Do you think that if these hearts weren't hardened, that package would have been longer? That package would have been bigger? And those corporations wouldn't have gotten money? SubhanAllah. See why Allah's words in the Quran are always on time? And I want us to get to the point where we see the Quran not as going along with the times, okay? But the Quran as prophetic, telling us what's going to happen, showing us how do we have to look at things, showing us how we have to maneuver through what's coming up. It is the guidance and it is instruction to help. It is what we need to become aware of ourselves. When Allah says it is obvious, he is saying, and again, I'm going on my thoughts, Allah is Allahu Alam, Allah is the best knower. But it is obvious that this Quran is for our benefit, and you know what, let me let Allah say something. Because this is all I do. He said for those conscious of Allah, right? Lil muttaqin. Those conscious of Allah, that inherent nature in us, that one thing that dignifies us. We all have taqwa. Allah has given us so much, but he did not say, you know, that this is only for those south of the equator people. Or this, he did not say this is only for right-handed people. And I'm being outrageous in those examples because when someone says that something is only for them based on a color, based on an economic status, that's outrageous. Because God does not work like that. Allah, this Quran, his Quran, this guidance that we need with the directions and the help to be that dignified creation is only based on if you're conscious of Allah. If you're conscious of Allah or not, that's all it's based on. And yes, it's based on those who use their intelligence, those who seek knowledge. But the first thing that those types, when you become one of those types, the first thing you have to do is you have to become conscious of Allah, first of all. Because you don't know where to seek the knowledge if you're not conscious. You have to be conscious of Allah, period, point blank. And it's taqwa. Imam Muhammad, he said, when taqwa goes, human life goes. When taqwa goes, human life goes. This is why having the correct awareness for the guidance that Allah has given us in the Quran should shape how we look at it, how we look at this world. This means that the Quran, and how we look at the Quran, this means that the Quran is being the word of Allah, means that it should be ideal. ideal to us, regarded as perfect. Allah should be regarded as perfect. Our awareness is taqwa. It is exactly what the Quran is clearly for. It is for all of humanity. It is for all the systems that we have set up. There has to be a law in what we do for it to be done in the right way. You cannot live your life and think you have lived it correctly and never was conscious of a law. That is living unconsciously. Right? You know, when the imam, he said that when the taqwa goes, this is telling us that even though it is inside of our creation, you know, I always call it our DNA, but we can lose it. It could be hid. We can lose that, what connects us to our creator. And once we have done that, then we have the living dead. We have leaders in place that have no regards for others. We have those who have now become unhuman. Our lives are to be in the best of forms. And that's in 95. We are created in the best of forms. And we are to live our lives in a clear, distinct manner that is consistent with what we believe in. In every area of our life. This is why the Quran is so important to us. If we thought it was before, you thought, yeah, the Quran's always been important, brother, man. I've always felt the Quran. Well, it's become even the most valued thing we could ever have right now. Because what else can you count on? Any second now, something else is liable to crumble. Something else is liable to explode. Something else is liable to just go poof in the air. But not Allah and not the word of Allah. Do we see how Allah has changed the priorities of the whole world? Allah has decided to make the whole world aware one way or the other. And as I come to a close, the line is drawn in the sand, so to speak. We're at the crossroads, right? As they say. We're at the junction of the two seas. How we go forward in the world and how we go forward in our lives. How we go forward in the new world is all going to be based on how we go forward with the clear guidance and the distinct help for our taqwa. We know that there will be challenges, and you know we're in one in the next khutbah as we move forward on just how we approach that. Because that's what the next ayat talks about. But this has been a khutbah, so I can't go to the next ayat. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. But I was able to get through the first of these two ayats today, you know, but there's much more for this in this, because that's what Allah has given us in the Quran. You know. The Quran is an ideology because there's clear guidance and direction. Now, inshallah, I have given something the benefit of the day, which all praise is to Allah. And of course, if there's any errors, of course, I am responsible for.